Well, happy Thursday, and welcome to the return of Perspectives from WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. Did you have a nice extended 4th of July holiday? Sure hope so. And in the wake of that, we're now looking at all kinds of fun and excitement out in the Gulf of Mexico, kind of early in the season for that sort of thing to be going on. But the latest we heard from our friends at the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network is that the major ramifications of that should not be touching us here in North Florida. At least that is the expectation at the moment. We will keep you informed on that score. Well, before we get our program underway, a reminder, you are always invited to be part of the action via phone and email. 850-414-1234 is the phone number, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. A little bit of history for you here. It was 1824. Florida Territorial Governor William Duval decided to establish a new capital city for the territory, and two riders were dispatched, one from Pensacola, the other from St. Augustine. The place they met would someday be called Tallahassee. And that's the way history went back then. At least that's the way we kind of remember. But was that accurate? Were there other ramifications? Were there other backstories that we are not exploring yet? We'll find out in the course of the next 50 minutes or so as we talk to some of the organizers of the upcoming Leon County Bicentennial Celebration as Florida's capital county marks 200 years, and the preparations for that are already underway. And we got an all-star cast to talk about that, connected in large part to the Tallahassee Historical Society. We even brought in the president for that, who is Bob Holliday. How did they make you president of this, Bob? What happened?
Well, you know, I'm expecting a phone call any day, you know, from other members of the board and the members at large, basically saying, we did what? And I told them when they did this that they had never had a president who actually knew less about Tallahassee history than I do. I mean, I know the big stuff, Andrew Jackson and all of that sort of stuff, but I rely very heavily on other members of the board and members at large who have been here, you know, for a lot longer than I have about family questions, who married who. I mean, when did such and such happen? I mean, it's a learning process for me. In a way, I sort of look at being president of the Historical Society as being roughly equivalent to being a greeter at Walmart. I mean, I get to introduce speakers, and I get to go out and shake hands and so forth. But as I say, I rely very heavily on the experts.
Well, we have your immediate predecessor, too, or at least one of the predecessors of your position, who is Dave Lang, who is not only past president of the THS, but also board member. And I remember you from your clerk of court days. My gosh, Dave, it's so good to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, great to be here, Tom. I think we're going to have a lot of fun this hour.
I know that we are here, and adding to that fun is going to be Beth McGrotha, at large board member, aficionado of historic recipes, including cookies.
Ooh.
And we'll describe these in just a moment. And all around, a ball of energy, as you were described. Beth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. So excited to be here.
We also have, from history, an at-large board member, researcher extraordinaire on historic things, Claude Kennison. Hey, Claude, good to have you.
Pleased to be here. Old president.
Yes, there you go. And returning to these microphones after too long an absence, Chucha Barber, former director of the Brogan Museum, filmmaker, fundraiser, advisor to this little endeavor on how to get things done. And Chucha, you're going to be a busy lady between now and 2024, are you not?
I am, and that would be an oddity, don't you think, Tom?
Can't imagine.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's get into that. I gave you the little kind of 30,000-foot overview here of how this place came to be in 1824, which is, I guess, the main event that we're going to be marking here. But this area already kind of had a long history when 1824 rolled around and those two riders met. And Beth, where did they meet exactly?
Well, they, and actually the two writers came just a little bit before. They were in the fall of 1823.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And one came, Dr. Simmons came from St. Augustine and Mr. Williams from Pensacola. And they met and thought the Cascades, the beautiful Cascades in Tallahassee, would become Tallahassee, Florida.
Yeah, because back then it was really Unheka, wasn't it? That it was. This was a large settlement of Appalachian peoples.
Right. It was the Native Americans. And Dr. Simmons actually brought two Indian interpreters from St. Augustine with him when he left in the fall because they needed to talk to Chief Nyamatha and the other people over here to get them to let them have the land that would become Tallahassee.
They must have done some pretty sharp talking there. I mean, when you know, people just kind of come riding into your backyard and say, hey, can we have at least a good chunk of your backyard?
I cannot imagine the conversation that would have gone on then.
That would have been really, really fun. Well, let's talk about the event here. How do we commemorate this? There is a multiple way of approaching a celebration of this kind. And it can be very serious and historic. It can be kind of fun. And what are we looking at? How do we do that?
Well, I think we had discussed whether we should stress what happened at the founding or whether we should stress 1924 when we had celebrated the centennial and stress that more so maybe than the founding because they did this way back in 1924. So we haven't really come to a conclusion yet as to what we were going to actually stress.
I'm sure most of us here at this table weren't around in 1924. How was the centennial commemorated?
That's a good question. Claude's been collecting all sorts of research on that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, they did not have as many years as we are taking. You know, they started in like in January 1924, and it was the Democrat that was the spear leader. They headed it, and they had articles, you know, just about every week at the beginning, and then later on, almost every day. And so we got about 5 years ahead of them, and they did so many things way back then. It was really amazing how much they accomplished in a year's time.
There were parades, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the things they had for the children. They had a costume parade that had more than 1,000 children involved. And they were expecting so many people that they even had a tent city at the fairgrounds that they had back then and to put people up. And they asked people in the community to open their homes, because they're expecting people from all over the state, and people did come. They had caravan, like about 100 from Miami came in a car caravan, and back then there weren't that many cars. And even Monticello sent 100 car caravan here. So they contacted people from all over the state, and so they were going to come, you know, to this. So they did so many things, like there was a pageant that was held by Renette Long Hunt, who was then in charge of the Grove. And she had a show that she put on. They had a little wooded section in the back of the house. And they used different people in town to depict some of these individuals that we talked about, like Duval who and Call and
Simmons.
Yeah, Jackson, any of these, you know, people that were
historic figures.
Exactly. Yeah. And they got to portray these people. So they did so many things. I mean, I can't even remember all the.
It was a true statewide event, was it? I mean, it was the state celebrated it. And one reason for that in 1924 was that South Florida was just becoming South Florida. I mean, Miami had about 30,000 people population. And so, you know, Tallahassee was at least in population and so forth, was a very significant town, obviously. So this becomes a statewide celebration, and that's ultimately one of the questions, I think, about the bicentennial. How much is it going to become a true statewide event? How much is the governor, how much is the legislature going to get involved?
The Secretary of State, all that, like we had the La Florida celebration just a couple years ago. It was a statewide sort of thing. We're going to add to the conversation a gentleman from the Greater Tallahassee Area Chamber of Commerce, our good friend Jay Revel, who is joining us here. And I believe the chamber is going to be a big part of this hoo-ha as well. Right, Mr. Revel?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, we're we're just here on the verge of an awfully big celebration, we all hope. And you've certainly got a wonderful panel of some of my favorite people there talking about it today. So, we've spent a lot of time in the last, couple of years thinking about this, and really in the last 6 or 8 months looking at what some things some other communities are doing. And as one way to kind of put a little placeholder out there that's fun if listeners are looking to kind of get an idea just how far out things are, you can go to www.tlh200.com and see a live countdown that we've got to that March 3rd birthday in 2024, which is cool. But something that I would encourage folks to go look at that's really cool, just a way to maybe inspire some thinking. If you go to the city of Memphis, this year, they are actually celebrating their 200th anniversary, and they have done a real knockout job, and I've been very impressed by some of the things we've seen that community come together and do. And I think the big thing that I would encourage everyone who's got an interest in the bicentennial to contemplate a little bit is how can we use this as an opportunity to not only celebrate our past, but also declare our intentions for the future, who we want to be as a community, how we want the world to know us, and really put our best face forward to, like your guest panel was talking about, let the whole state get involved in celebrating our capital city. And
Jay, hang on just a second here. We got to take a quick timeout, then we'll continue this on the other side of the break. We are talking 200 years. We are back on Perspectives, talking about the impending, in just 5 short years, 200th anniversary celebration of Florida's capital city and capital county. As we look back in time and also look forward, Jay Revel with the Greater Tallahassee Area Chamber of Commerce still on the line. And Jay, as far as the TLH 200.com website, great way to keep up on these plans as they are being formulated. But from the chamber's viewpoint, do you have anything kind of solid, or are we in a super fluid situation right now as to what you plan and anticipate for this observance?
Well, I think it's definitely fluid, Tom, but at the same time, our board of directors has recognized the opportunity, and we always try to be it's funny, the chamber's centennial is the year prior to that. It will be in 2023, which is cool. So we've got kind of both of those on our radar and something we're looking at and looking forward as we move into our conference later this summer as an opportunity to engage our board and present them with some options for how we can best engage the broader community in celebrating who we are and who we want to be.
All righty. Let's add another voice to this conversation. Bill is hanging in online, too, and part of the effort, I believe, is going to be to include as many parts of the community as is possible to assemble in getting this thing going. So, Bill, let's get your thoughts on the whole thing. And by the way, welcome to Perspectives. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up, I think the Grove and the Goodwood Museum are both finally beginning to acknowledge the enslavement of African people in the history of their museums. But one of the things I think is very important is to acknowledge the role that slavery and segregation and Jim Crow played in producing wealth in Leon County,
yes,
in North Florida, and the really degenerative human destruction of humanity that wealth represents.
Let's talk to our panel here and see how that is going to be accommodated, handled, and also acknowledged in the course of this entire thing. Beth McGrotha, there is a place for this, especially since, as we were hearing here from Claude, in the 1924 observance, it was pretty much a white bread kind of thing, right?
It was pretty much, although there was a play that was done about Antonio Proctor, who he was one of the Indian interpreters that came with Dr. Simmons from St. Augustine in 1823. He was not enslaved at that time. He had gained his freedom after the War of 1812, but he had been a slave prior to that. And I've been involved with Tallahassee Hidden History, and we do need to tell those hidden stories, the ones that aren't in all the history books. We need to figure that out. We need to do some research, find out who these slaves were, these enslaved people, and we need to tell their stories. And then Antonio Proctor was a major player. Again, there was a play that was done at the 1924 celebration about Antonio Proctor. Haven't found the play yet. Would love to find it. So if anybody has any connections to that, let us know if anybody's come across that. But there are so many stories that we need to tell, and it's difficult. Also, we've got the enslaved people. We don't know their stories, and we don't know the women's stories. They're also really not told very much. So those are two avenues that we really could do some research on to make sure that everybody that was there and had a part in this is represented in our celebration.
And how do we get that, Chuchu Barber? How do you get a full community participation in this and find out these stories?
Well, I have a friend by the name of Bernard Kinsey who likes to say, we have to tell history and not his story. And I really think that the community, not just Tallahassee, but also Jefferson County and Leon County, we were a much broader entity than maybe the narrow way we're looking at. And we're really at a watershed moment where we can create unity, and we're far enough out to create diversity. The door is wide open as we sit here with you today to figure out what are the stories that we should be telling, and who are the people that should be highlighted. And I'm happy to say that the Historical Society is in a leadership role and has been well received by some of the most prominent organizations in the community. We've met with COCA, we've met with the mayor, we have a meeting pending with the county manager, we've met with the executive director of the Black Archives, we've met with Altamise Barnes and her staff at the Riley House. And if you remember when the community celebrated a Napoleon exhibit, everything that happened in the community that normally happens in the course of the year was seen through the lens of telling the story about our community's connection to Napoleon and his family. And that's one of the things that we can do with the bicentennial celebration. And I think it's critical because history education seems to be declining on a lot of levels, and this is really a great opportunity to turn that ship around.
Is there an opportunity then for people to come in to become part of this larger effort that is going to be in the run-up to the bicentennial?
You bet. We are just getting started. There will be public meetings. I hope there'll be online availability for people to communicate and submit ideas. And maybe one of the most important things is there are a lot of people who have treasures within their own homes and family stories that are waiting to be shared. And what a wonderful moment this is to come forward and start talking about it, because we really are all in this together. It's everyone's history.
Okay, and Dave Lang, how do you get some more people involved in this as well? You've got connections all over the place here that can be leveraged into this effort.
What you're doing right now is a great starter, because the entire community needs to be involved in this situation. And communication through talks to clubs and organizations, getting our city and our county to form a bicentennial committee along with the state, and the things of that matter are exactly what we need. And we want to awaken the community to the fact that we have such a treasure in our history here. I would compare it certainly as high, if not higher, than even Pensacola or St. Augustine. Ours goes back to DeSoto's time. And it's just we have such a rich history here that I don't think it can be compared anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And Bob Holliday, you've got, again, the prehistory of this area, which goes back thousands of years, not just 200.
I agree. Tom, I'd like to address just a minute our caller's point, if it's all right. history's tough. I mean, history is difficult because history is by and large, not completely, an interpretive discipline. And interpretations change. They've changed several times in my lifetime. And we have to ask her. And you know, this is all contemporary controversy, as you know. Who do we honor? Who do we feel like we can honor? Does the fact that somebody's ancestors owned slaves or somebody owned slaves, does that disqualify them for any of their other achievements and so forth? And, you know, this is all over the place, you know, political controversies today and so forth. And I suspect that this celebration will have to answer some of those questions, and we'll have to deal with some of those questions. And we need to be able to do it honestly, I think, and not and civilly, I think, and be able to have civil and reasoned discussions about it.
Someone who has been involved in this before is named Mia, and she is on the line right now, and she may be able to bring some of her background and experience to bear on this topic. Mia, hi. Thanks for calling Perspectives. How you doing?
Hi, doing fine. Thank you very much. I hope this kind of dovetails on that last remark. I was a white member of the committee that was working on the Smoky Hollow commemoration. Yes. And it occurs to me after hearing so many family stories and just looking at Tallahassee through those eyes and the fact that Tallahassee is trying to honor that part of its community, that one of the things that I'd love to see emphasized in this centennial deal is the things that were contributed to this city by its African-American members, whether they were in their times of enslavement, but also as freed people. How many things were built here? How many physical structures
right.
would not be here without them? And the skill that went into
True.
All kinds of labor. And what the accomplishments of the community have been since emancipation. And I think just to look, it's to balance that what has actually been achieved rather than a kind of redoing of just white guilt. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Mia. Appreciate that. And Beth McGrotha, you were jumping in there, I could tell. What are your thoughts?
Well, when she said the buildings that were here, a lot of my research has been done on one of our premier antebellum builders who was a free African-American, George Proctor. And he was not here. His father, Antonio, was here in 1824, and George did not come until 1829. However, he built many. We still have several buildings that are here. And one of the things that, as you can see, I like to get a full feel of what people were doing back then. What were they wearing? What were they eating? What kind of parties did they have? What were they going to? And one of the things I would love to see happen is, you know, what were the buildings? We still have places around here. We can do a trolley tour of Tallahassee to show some of these buildings and the history. And as part of that, we can, if we have to really dig, get our research going, but who were the enslaved people that built these? And then the freed African-Americans. We had one free African-American in 1825 in Tallahassee in Leon County. By 1830, we had four. And then it grows from there. But we need to tell the stories of all these people and of these buildings. Buildings have a history and a story, too. So we need to find out what they are and share those.
Well, at the time of emancipation, I believe there was significantly more African Americans in Leon County than there were white people.
Absolutely.
Right, but most of those were not free.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, the story's bigger, again, than just the local community. And when you think back to the Viva Florida celebration, one of the things that rose to the top was the controversy. And with all due respect to my friends in St. Augustine, there's still some question about where Juan Ponce de Leon really landed. And when we opened Cascades Park, you may remember that the head of the Florida surveyors came and read from the journal of the guys that, you know, started mapping out the area. And the prime meridian marker in Cascades Park determines every plot of real estate in the whole state of Florida, much less the fact that we're the state's capital. We could really create a statewide celebration once again.
Yeah, we have to,
I think. And it should be so. I understand we're talking a lot about the word Tallahassee, but we are Florida's capital city, and this really should be a statewide event.
Okay, and Claude Kennison, how do you do that? Do you just call Governor DeSantis and say, hey, you want to be on the committee?
Well, they did that last time when they had the centennial. They got politicians involved. So that would be a very good idea, I think, to get them all involved.
I will point out that the governor was a history major in college.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That you have an in right there, I would think.
Hey, and not only did they contact politicians, but the schools were involved, and especially here, and the churches were all involved. You know, everybody got in on the act. Now the blacks had their own celebration. It was not, you know,
segregated, Jim Crow.
Yes, that was that era. But they did celebrate too. I mean, you know, they had their own.
I'd like to point out, I mean, I asked a selection of our board to join us here. I'd like to point out some of the people on our board who are not here, who are also undergoing. I mean, for example, Doug Smith, who is past president and on the board. I mean, I sort of look to him and Claude and Dave and also Mary May, one of our past, you know, about the actual real history. Our treasurer, Andy Wright, has made it his project to do cemetery cleanup. I mean, he spends a lot of time down at the Oakland Cemetery working on the Calvin Phillips Cemetery. Mausoleum and so forth. Nina Gonzalez, our secretary, is sort of a liaison with the university community. So we got a lot of people doing work.
And don't forget that Andy also is doing that then and now.
Yeah. I mean, one of the good things about all of this is that the Historical Society itself is sort of entering a new phase, I think, becoming a little bit more public, a little bit. You know, more visible and so forth. I mean, we've gone digital in recent years. We have a great webmaster Facebook page doing then and now photographs and so forth. And so this, you know, there are a lot of factors that go into this, and a lot of people are contributing.
And with the resources of the State Archives at the R.A. Gray Building, the Black Archives at FAM, you've got a multitude of other things that you can bring to bear on this entire project to try to flesh out, as you were saying, Beth, some of those unknown stories that you know are there, but you just don't have access to them right now.
And it was said the family stories, that people do have things in their homes. I've been amazed that I've started doing this research. So anybody that has those family stories, it would be great to have a place where they could share those stories, share those artifacts, and you know, make that a part of our history.
Yeah, that surprised me that, you know, it's great a collection of digital and physical information and artifacts and all that the state archives are, that we don't have a municipal museum.
Well, one of the things that I hope that comes out of the whole bicentennial effort is moving in that direction for a museum, but also collecting and getting more material for research. You know, I write a monthly book column for the Democrat, and one of the things I wrote about back during the quadricentennial of back in the 60s of St. Augustine and so forth, and then the bicentennial of the nation in the 70s, the Florida legislature actually funded, in cooperation with the University Press of Florida, the reprinting of a lot of primary materials, historical materials, on the state. And I would hope that something like that could be done maybe this time, at least on a local level.
We're talking about history and the upcoming celebration of that history, 200 years of Tallahassee and Leon County in 2024, which will be our bicentennial year. Members of the Tallahassee Historical Society here with us, and we'd like to add your voice to the conversation, too, at 850-414-1234, or drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives on WFSU Public Media, talking about the evolution of our fair city and Capital County. You know, you can always find our show online at WFSU.org. You can check out this or past Perspectives at that URL. Just go to the website, click on radio, hit local programs. Perspectives will be amongst the selection that you can click then. And we archive past shows, try to have the most recent program posted within 24 hours of when it actually appears on the radio. Bob Holliday, Dave Lang, Claude Kennison, Beth McGrotha, and Chucha Barber here with us as we talk about the plans afoot now for the bicentennial commemoration coming up in 2024, which seems so far away, but it's really not when you have something of this magnitude, and not just Historical Society, not just the archives of the state and Florida A&M, not just local governments. But you brought up a good point, Claude, a little bit ago, and that is history not being taught the way it used to be in the schools, and we got to get more of the students involved in this whole project as well.
Correct.
So how do we do that?
I guess we might have to get some of our members to either go to the school board or to the schools themselves, maybe, and tell them how in the past that they had so many children involved, you know.
Have a chat with the school superintendent would be the first thing.
Well, you're probably right. Yes.
So you do, but I think we have Rocky Hanna's cell phone number here somewhere. Hold on,
good.
We'll see if we can get it.
Rocky's a good man.
You know, Tom, one of the things when I teach a history class, one of the things I always assign my students to read first week is a very short article by the historian David McCullough, who did John Adams and has a new book on the bestseller list called History and Knowing Who We Are. And he talks about the lack of history education and so forth, and how we're raising generations of historically illiterate kids. And he offers three. So first of all, we don't teach it well, he says. He says we emphasize dates and battles and, you know, political stuff and so forth. And as he argues, it's stories. History is stories of individuals and their decisions and human nature and so forth. And, you know, one of the things he says is that we need to convince our students that history is fun, that it's fun. I mean, it's fun to watch Beth in costume get up and talk about recipes and the Proctor family and things like that. That is fun. It is fun to traipse around an old cemetery or a historic site.
And Tom, that's a reason we need a museum. We could collect all these items. The state portrays events over the state of Florida. We don't have one in Tallahassee or Leon County. our neighboring communities, even Crawfordville, Quincy, these others, have museums. That could be a conduit for students to come get involved in, to see, and it could be a wake-up call to the community. If you have relics of historical interest or stories, that needs to be incorporated in that museum, and we need to start a collection of those items.
Well, and on top of that, if you notice what's been going on, as recently as this week's Tallahassee City Commission meeting, you have folks coming up and saying there are historic neighborhoods or historic trees or whatever that need preserved. Yeah. And before you go in and change the world as it is, you may want to widen that discussion a little bit, pro or con, to get more people involved in that so that you have more buy-in as to how does the city grow and evolve and all that sort of thing.
It just has to do with identity. Yeah. I mean, with who you are. You plow under your history or you build on top of your history and so forth. You lose your memory, and if you lose your memory, you lose your identity.
Boy, that sounds like what Max wants to talk about. He's waiting on line one to join the conversation here on Perspectives. Hi, Max. Thanks for calling, and we appreciate it. You can go right ahead, Max. Let's see. We got the right button pushed there, guys? All right. You're on, Max. Go ahead.
Hi, I just actually got to your program a little late here, but you're talking about Smoky Hollow and Cascades Park and Black history here. And your radio station has covered the destruction of the Boynton Still neighborhood.
Yes.
And the government, the city of Tallahassee and Blueprint, have done what I can see nothing to actually record the history of this area. And they're cutting down 500-year-old trees, old oak trees, and I'm just trying to bring awareness because a lot of this history is being lost. And this is a 100-year-old plus community, and I'd love it if, you know, we could get people in on this issue.
There you go, Max, and that's exactly what the folks here were talking about, trying to get that wider appreciation for not what was, but also what is, and the connection to that. But you got to get more people aware, and Tallahassee Historical Society, here you go, guys. It's your bailiwick. This is what you do.
Well, we do. We try to anyway, which is one reason why we're trying to raise our profile a little bit. We have a lot of good speakers. I mean, our season starts in October and goes through May, and we meet the second Thursday night of every month over at the Governor Martin House, which is the site of the DeSoto encampment, and we have good speakers. I mean, the mayor came and spoke in May, for example. We've had a lot of preservation issues and so forth. Our first speaker in October is going to be our Secretary of State, Laurel Lee, and so we're very excited about that. And our December speaker is going to be Jonathan Lammers, whom you know has been involved in a lot of this stuff about the neighborhoods and the golf course and so forth. And so, yes, I mean, absolutely, yes, we want to be involved and raise those issues.
And so does this then, Chuchu Barber, become part of the focus of the bicentennial, maybe to enlarge that discussion? It's not just a one-year observance and we all get together and we have parades and parties and other fun stuff, but this is how we refocus attention on who we are, what we are, where we've been, where we're going.
I think so, Tom. I think that one of the reasons that we are here with you today is because it's not a fast track. I mean, it's not a sprint. This is a marathon. And if we're going to do it right, and right would be to have some long-term lasting effect, both on the mindset of people who live in our communities, that's plural, as well as education initiatives. I think those are two of the most important long-term outcomes. In regard to education, I want to say that every year here in Tallahassee at the Governor's Mansion, there is a celebration of Black History Month and a celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month, where children from throughout the state of Florida, in each instance, participate by creating essays in collaboration with their schools and their teachers and art experiences. And I've conferred with commissioners at Volunteer Florida and asked if the theme for the essays and the art contest for 2024 could be about the bicentennial, because I just think that education of history, particularly local history and our state's history, appears to be declining in public schools. And this could be a way to jumpstart it back to where it belongs.
I keep thinking, too, Beth McGrotha, how cool it would be, the old time travel scenario, back to 1824. And in the opinion, or at least the perception of so many people, you know, those riders came across an unspoiled wilderness, but this was, as you said earlier, already a capital city. This was an encampment of more than 3,000 Apalachee, essentially where the Target is now on West Tennessee Street. This was a pretty good-sized town back then.
Well, and that is, we've talked about the African-Americans here. What about the Native Americans? How do we incorporate them into this celebration? And what were they doing, and who are the important people that we need to honor and commemorate with our 2024 celebration?
I'd like to mention that in 1924, they did get the Seminoles, a large group of Seminoles participated, and they brought them here to town. So, yes, we should get them involved, too.
Yeah, because we have the successors of the original Leon County Apalachees. They now live in Louisiana. And they're big landholders. I think they got more money than most of the folks in Tallahassee. They made a good deal when they moved over there.
But the good news is they have a relationship with Mission San Luis, and Mission San Luis is just one of the many organizations can contribute. And so this is just another example of, we don't always have to reinvent the wheel. Like, one of the things the mayor said when we spoke to him about the bicentennial was, we ought to have a parade. Well, for heaven's sakes, we have one of the biggest parades in the southeast region of the United States. I spoke with the executive director who's kind of new to that role, Jennifer Schaefer, and we talked about ways we might be able to make the Springtime Tallahassee Parade even more inclusive. What if we had every single high school marching band in our community as part of that parade, and maybe the FAMU Marching 100? I mean, we could break some significant barriers here if we do this thing right.
And you got crew floats, but why not have floats representing the various groups that have contributed to this area? Not just from 1824 forward, but even before that.
It's an example of the reality that we have to address some of the controversy in order to get to the other side to create the unity.
That's exactly right. That's well put.
Yeah, and so how's the county going on this, Dave? I understand you still got some connection down there at the courthouse.
Well, I hope I do, certainly. They're all good folks down there, and I spent 41 years of my life under that roof, and I could tell you some wonderful stories on that. But I think they would be very cooperative, and from what I've talked to them about, I think they'll come right along without a problem. They're good folks.
Okay.
We've reached out to Carrie Post, I guess.
We did. And she was the Deputy Secretary of State during the Viva Florida celebration. So she totally gets the impact that a series of events like this, because it won't be just one thing and won't be just one day. And Carrie's totally on board with Visit Tallahassee. We also have a meeting pending in a couple of weeks with the county manager. Claude mentioned the Democrat and its role in the 100-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. I had a great meeting with Skip Foster. I had a great meeting with the general manager of WCTV, Heather Peoples. And one of the things we talked about with Amanda Thompson at COCA was the Democrat has great audio files that Gerald Ensley created that have never been heard. And maybe a podcast series using Gerald's voice. I mean, he's clearly celebrated as a historian of our community. And there are just so many pieces of the puzzle that already exist. Sometimes it's just going to be a matter of bringing them all to the table and bringing them all together. It's not that we have to create. But I guess I would be remiss if I didn't say that the best things sometimes take money. And one of the reasons to talk about it early is there are opportunities for our community to apply for federal grants, to apply to large foundations for grants. We could create and enhance an economic stimulus in our community if we get our ducks in the row and start doing things that are meaningful and have appropriate planning. And that's really one of the reasons that I joined the Historical Society, because I think they need to be the lead organization in trying to make these great things happen.
And perhaps those grants being some of the seed corn, Dave Lang, that you were talking about here for a museum or some such kind of thing.
Well, let's take, for example, Senator Montford got an appropriation for $50,000 for Wakulla County for their historical museum down there. It's the old county jail, and it's made a wonderful museum for them.
Let's add Brian to the conversation as time draws nigh for us to start wrapping up our conversation about the impending bicentennial. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling Perspectives. Welcome.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
You all have made, I haven't heard the whole show, so pardon me if this has already been brought up, but it sounds like y'all are willing to look at some of the things in our history that, you know, some of us, especially the white part of the community, may not be real proud of, maybe ashamed of. And along those lines, I hope that you will work with, there's a local group that is working with an outfit called the Equal Justice Initiative in Montgomery.
Yes.
That has a memorial to lynching victims throughout the country, and each county where they have found documented, been able to document lynchings. There's only four in Leon County that have been documented. I'm sure we all agree that's the tip of the iceberg.
It needs to be said that the last one of those, I think, took place in 1933, which was 9 years after our centennial celebration. So that's how long that... I'll get in trouble for saying this, I guess. Terror lasted. And yes, I went to, Brian, I went to that meeting, I guess it was in January. Claude and I both went to that meeting. Several of us did.
Right.
And that needs to be done. I agree with that.
Right. And perhaps some way it could be, be part of our bicentennial, you know, to acknowledge the history and to make an effort to heal from that. And I appreciate the work that y'all are doing, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Brian. Yeah, I think that you have encapsulated one of the perhaps marketing statements for this, warts and all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could be mistaken, but I think that the St. John's Church has a committee that's also involved.
Yeah, there's several churches involved in it. Yes, that's the
And I think that that recently there's been some recognition that institutions in our faith-based community also share a very long and rich history. And when I look at, well, what are we going to talk about? And candidly, what are we going to leave out? Because I got to tell you, some things are going to get left out. I think you've got to think about the people, you've got to think about the institutions, you've got to think about places, and you've got to think about major events. And what's really, really important is that no single like-minded group of people determine what those are. It really, really has to be a broad swath of and representative of everybody that lives in and has lived in our community.
I'll plug another one of our meetings real fast. Our January meeting is going to be a number of the historic churches in Tallahassee coming, presenting their histories and sort of talking about the role of the early churches.
Well, we want to certainly make sure that folks can connect to the Tallahassee Historical Society via website. You guys do have a good site.
.org, www.TallahasseeHistoricalSociety.org. We've got a Facebook page, too. So, yes, By all means. Yes.
Okay, and Jay Revel had already talked about the www.tlh200.com website that the Chamber has up there. Lots of opportunities to get involved, and we will be having you guys back on as we close in on the date, which is now just 5 years away. Bob Holliday, Dave Lang, Claude Kennison, Beth McGrotha, and Chucha Barber, thank you all for being on Perspectives today. We appreciate it so much, and have a wonderful 200th anniversary up and coming. Perspectives produced by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls behind the booth. I'm Tom, and we will be back next week with more conversation right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.